Precious cornerstone, that's your foundation, that's your foundation, the tribe stone. A precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Well, Israel is occupied territory. You got it. By the Arabs. Well, what do you say about that? The Arab claim that the country was theirs and was taken away from them by the Jews is completely false and without historic basis. Over 90% of the Arabs, according to Joan Peters' carefully documented book From Time Immemorial, recently migrated to Israel only after the deported Jews returned to their homeland as pioneers and miraculously rebuilt it. Mark Twain, in his travels throughout Palestine in the middle of the 19th century, confirmed the fact that the land was then barren, desolate, and sparsely populated. Israel became a nation in 1312 BCE, that is 2,000 years before the rise of Islam, and long before there was any Arab nation. Israel, Palestine, has been the homeland of the Jewish people since biblical times. It was subsequently occupied more than 15 times. Among its occupiers were the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Ottoman Turks, the longest occupiers of the Holy Land who ruled on and off for 400 years, between 1517 and 1917, were the Ottoman Turks. They were followed by the British, who ruled under a mandate of the League of Nations, later the UN, to renew a homeland for the Jewish people. Jews had dominion over the land of Israel for over 1,300 years before their expulsion by the conquering Roman Empire. Moreover, Jews have had a continuous presence in this land for over 3,000 years. Peoples of the world, stop being deceived by the Arab big lie technique. Arafat, a murderer and terrorist, is the most evil leader since Hitler. He has mastered, quote, unquote, the big lie technique. His followers have become adept in rewriting history. And by continuous repetition, their lies have come to be believed. Arabs are not descendants of the Canaanites, nor the Philistines, nor of any other ancient people who formerly lived in this land. Unfortunately, because of massive oil deposits in Arab countries, many nations and the media, acting out of self-interest, are silent with regard to the gross Arab distortions of history. As reported, Women in the Green. Obviously, the reality is that Israel is being occupied by the Arabs. And that's the truth of the matter here, folks. As I've said before, we quote from many sources. It does not lend endorsement to those organizations necessarily. Two interesting editorial responses to Jerusalem Post. Britain's gift to the Middle East. The British are in large part responsible for the mess they left when they pulled out of the Middle East more than half a century ago. They did a poor job of overseeing redistribution and ownership of real estate. After many centuries of Turkish control, the British wound up with much of the Middle East following World War I. The Ottoman Empire was then carved up, establishing Lebanon in 1920, Iraq in 1932, Syria in 1941, Jordan in 1946, Israel in 1948, and Kuwait in 1961. Saudi Arabia was established in 1913, just before World War I. Nasser Arafat and his associates demanding the return of the Palestinian homeland is just pure nonsense. There never has been a Palestinian state or homeland. In addition to all the lands given to the Arabs following World War I, they were given the West Bank and Gaza Strip. It is too late to correct previous errors made in the reallocation of lands in the Middle East. Because I disagree with that, for God is going to reallocate exactly what he wants, and Israel is going to get back all the land that belongs to them, far more than what they have now. Continuing here, all of the modern-day Israel, including the West Bank, Gaza Strip, Golan Heights, both sides of the Jordan River, plus all of Jerusalem, should be under Israeli rule. Yeah, I amen to that. Palestinian residents would be free to remain in their present homes and become Israeli citizens. Those who do not wish to live under the democratic government of Israel would live in a neighboring Arab country with their Arab brothers and sisters. Yes, I agree with you very, very much. Another response to an editorial, religion or obscenity. What manner of religion teaches its adherents the glory of paradise to commit suicide and murder innocents? What kind of government offers prestige and money to families of those who commit suicide and murder innocents? What manner of society teaches and indoctrinates its children from infancy to commit suicide and murder innocents? What kind of mother encourages her children to commit suicide and murder innocents for prestige and monetary rewards? What manner of people provide moral and material support to institutions which finance, equip, and supply the logistical means to children to commit suicide and murder innocents? What are the words to describe this behavior? Perverted? Obscene? These words are close, but still not adequate. The English language has not yet invented the words. Yes, indeed. Words cannot even express the abominations that are going on against God's special chosen people, the Jews. This in from our morality file. San Francisco may try growing marijuana. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? Now they have Now they're helping to promote the homosexual agenda and promoting sodomy and tolerating that abomination. And now they're going to let them be on drugs. And they're going to try to legitimize it. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors voted to put a measure on the ballot that would allow the city to explore the idea of growing marijuana for seriously ill patients. In 1996, California became the first state to approve medical marijuana. Supervisor Mark Leno said he drafted the latest proposal because the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration remains determined to close clubs that distribute medical marijuana. DEA officials were undeterred. Unless Congress changes the law and makes marijuana a legal substance, then we have to do our job and enforce the law, said Richard Meyer, a DEA spokesman in San Francisco. That's right, Mr. Meyer, I agree with you. Supporters said a program on city land could double as agriculture job training for the unemployed. That's absurd. That is absurd. We are using enchanting drugs in order to take care of the supposed ill, of illnesses of people. Now, come on, how low are we going to get? You might as well make heroin and opium and cocaine and all that other stuff. Might as well, might as well make it all legal. Well, did you know alcohol is legal? And do you realize that's really a drug? It's addictive, and it's one of the worst vices our nation has ever known. You realize what the Bible says? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'll tell you one thing, our country is not wise when it comes to the low moral state to allow these enchanting drugs to be used for as medicine. Now, since we're on the subject of alcohol and drugs, I might as well throw in the cancer stick, too. Cigarettes, that is. Here's an article also, as reported in the USA Today. Pilots were at bar hours before flight. Miami, two American West pilots arrested on charges of being drunk in the cockpit, had partied at a bar hours before their scheduled takeoff with 124 passengers to Phoenix. Attorneys for the pilots will ask a Miami judge today to delay an August 1 hearing in the case. The lawyers would not confirm reports that the delay is necessary because the pilots are in alcohol rehabilitation in Arizona. And the article continues to go on. Court documents of the case include $142 bar tab on the credit card with a $20 tip. Prosecutors say as many as 4 to 6 people might have been drinking at the pilot's table. They drank a martini and more than 350 ounces of draft beer, the equivalent of about 30 12-ounce bottles. We've given the police everything, and the owner of the bar had said. Authorities ordered employees not to comment, but the bar tab says the bill was settled at 4:29 a.m. The bar closed at 5 a.m. and is walking distance from the pilot's hotel in the Coconut Grove neighborhood. Their flight had been scheduled to depart 10:30 a.m. The FAA bans pilots from drinking within 8 hours of takeoff. America West requires 12 hours. And the Bible requires 24 hours every day for the rest of one's life to abstain from alcohol. The article goes on, the guys were in here for a few hours. They were drinking. Both pilots had blood alcohol levels above Florida's legal limit of 0.08%, twice the FAA's limit. Police said the pilots became belligerent when they weren't allowed through the metal detector with coffee. The jet was leaving the airport gate when police ordered it to return. Each pilot pleaded not guilty to a felony charge of operating an aircraft while intoxicated and to driving under the influence, a misdemeanor. The maximum sentence is 6 years. Well, again, I don't only blame these pilots. I don't only blame the airlines. I blame our society. When our government can allow the legality of drinking alcohol, when we know that it's destroying the moral fabric of our country and is one of the leading causes of bringing people down to hell, because it's a hellish vice of the devil, let's put the blame on those who are really responsible for this whole thing. Now, they're responsible themselves, but what about our government? What about our society? What about it, folks? It don't make any sense to me. Alcohol is a drug. Alcohol is addictive. Alcohol ruins marriages. Alcohol brings over 50% of accidents in the automobile is a result of drunken driving. Now, don't take a rocket scientist to realize we got a major problem in this country. Now, how in the world can we legitimize cigarette smoking? Now, this thing with the marijuana, and we legitimize this stuff, but we legitimize alcohol, but then on the other stroke, we say cocaine is illegal. We say morphine is illegal as far as using it as a luxurious drug. We say all these things that are excessive is illegal. But when you come right down to it, let's be consistent about it. Alcohol should also be illegal. Hey, listen to the wisdom of God. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. How true the Bible is. The dangers of alcohol, be it wine, alcoholic wine, be it beer, be it vodka, martinis, liquor. The Bible says you are not wise if you partake. And not only that, the consequences of your actions will affect others, your family, and your job. And unless God helps you through being under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and you repent of drinking, it will lead you down the paths of hell. For all vices and sin does do that. Now, before I talk about the next article, which is about the iris identification technology that's being promoted in a big way now since September the 11th. I want to read these Bible verses from the book of Revelation, and then I'm going to read the article, and you tell me if there could be some comparison, some identification with the fulfillment of these prophecies. Now, I believe that that the true fulfillment of what I'm reading will happen in the tribulation period. But I also understand that we are on the stepping stones of this technology today, and that the means of carrying it out is already here and available, and wouldn't take a whole lot to implement it. So that's why it's so important to consider this, especially when you want to consider your destiny. And that's why we are on this program, in order to give you an opportunity to know how to be prepared to meet your God. We don't want you to have to stand before the white throne judgment and then God judge you and then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. No. We don't want you to have to go through that. We want you to know what it means to have eternal life. And you can have it by receiving the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to Revelation chapter 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here's some more references about the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. See, the mark of the beast will have no discrimination. Verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with a fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, if you reject the gospel and the rapture, the taking up of the bride of Christ happens today, tomorrow, you will be on the road to receiving this mark of the beast, and you will be tormented forever and ever. Ultimately, there'll be no rest for you day nor night. Or you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. I've often said, those who have the audacity to say that they're going to have a party in hell, they're not going to have no party, folks. They're going to be tormenting in flames of fire. The ones who are going to have a good time are the saints of the Most High God. They're going to be singing and praising and having the instruments and playing upon the instruments like the harps of God. Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sword upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, with what I've already read from the Holy Scriptures, oracles of God, I want to read this report as reported in the USA Today, how iris identification works. Biometrics uses automation to authenticate identity based on anatomical or physical characteristic of a person. Iris recognition is one kind of biometrics from the this technology group sells its iris scanners that are used at ATMs and in hospitals, airports, and prisons to authenticate identity, and smaller systems that can also be used to protect access to computers. Number one, user must be within arm's distance of the camera. A colored light or a GERD helps the user correctly position the eye in front of the lens. Number two, the system takes a black and white video picture of the eye. Number three, a computer program lays a circular grid over the picture of the eye and using a computer or formula generates a unique barcode using the light and dark areas of the iris. Number four, for verification, the barcode is matched against a stored template. The entire process takes less than half a second. For identification, the barcode can be checked against a database of as many as 2 million to 3 million irises within 2 to 3 seconds. Now, some of you know the history of the barcode, the UPC barcode. There are several of them, but one of the main ones that are used in the sign and the selling and buying of products today is the one that has two thin lines in the front without a number on the bottom, two thin lines in the middle without a number in the bottom, and two thin lines on the end and no number in the bottom of it. And it's been reported and documented that those two thin lines equal the number 6. And so what you have is 666. By the way, that is the number of the beast. And now you understand the close linkage to a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, in a hypothetical world in this year 2054, as it was being reported here as an article to some kind of film that was out, it said laser scans the irises of subway passengers and automatically deduct their fare. Billboards use the same technology to recognize passerby and call out to them by name. And if things get rough, then they'll be able to swap out their eyes and replace it with someone else's to shield their identity. Can you imagine people stealing eyeballs? I know it's crazy, it's monstrous, it's Frankensteinish, but every imagination of man's heart is wicked continually. And just like in the days of Noah, are we experiencing today? This was also prophesied in the Bible. As in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 9, God said that for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now think of gentle dusting of almost microscopic sensors in everything we use, wear, walk, on, and drive, all calling out to each other in a radio whisper we never hear or see, but that tracks us like a mother following a 2-year-old to keep her out of trouble. It's going to be extremely invasive of privacy, but we're going to forget using those words. I think we'll get used to this stuff in an alarmingly short amount of time. It's called Ubicomp. The roadway will know when it's icy, caution our car to slow down on the curves. Our toilet will analyze our urine and notify our doctor if anything is amiss. When we listen to music, the player will note each song and quietly deduct a few cents from our account. Maybe less if we allow the record companies to track what we like and don't like for their marketing plans. And it goes on, a project that occurred in the University of Washington, Seattle, used a network of digital devices, wireless sensors, in the walls of homes and appliances and furniture and clothing. The devices would work together to monitor the individual, offer prompts when appropriate, and summon help when needed. It will be tested at a state-of-the-art retirement community in Portland, Oregon. The military law enforcement are eager to make use of the latest computer database technologies to track criminals. The Senate held a hearing on the possibility of creating a national system of biometric measurement using the body to uniquely identify individuals to help in the fight against terrorism. Federal agents were able to recreate a detailed record of the lives of September 11 terrorists by using credit card transactions, phone records, and security camera tapes. But it's not just terrorists who are tracked, and it's not just the government doing the tracking. Already, gigabytes of information are collected about us every day in databases compiled by the supermarkets where we shop, our pharmacies, credit card companies, and phone companies. To some extent, the trade-off for the consumer is between convenience and privacy. Across the country, drivers can sign up to use palm-sized transponders that automatically deduct the cost of bridge and highway tolls as they drive. But this means there's a digital record detailing each time and place their car made the trip. Our customers aren't the ones deciding how the information will be used. In Southern California, the supermarket used a customer's previous purchasing records to imply that his fall in a store was caused in part by heavy drinking. Can you imagine that? Documented by what he'd bought with his discount card. Face recognition software was used to scan everyone who passed through the turn tiles at the Super Bowl in Tampa. The digitized images were matched electronically with databases of mugshots of criminals and terrorists. Similar technology has been tried in Virginia Beach and at airports overseas. Computerized iris scanning has existed since 1994 and has been used at ATMs in hospitals and airports. Well, you decide. Is the Bible true? Yes, the Bible is true. What seemed to be impossible years ago is now right in front of our eyes. New sources courtesy of Zion News International. Now don't turn your dial. There's more to come. Stay with us. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that. But if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad that you're staying with us here for the last half of the broadcast at this hour. And I'm asking you to do us a great favor. Would you please send us a letter, some kind of communication in order to let us know that you're listening to the broadcast and tell us that it's been a help to you. We want to know where the broadcast is being heard around the world, and it would be a great blessing. Now, I continue at this juncture, too, I've been talking last couple broadcasts about rabbis who have had a, I believe you might call it, a supernatural encounter with God Almighty, the Messiah. And his lovely name is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a supernatural situation because we are dead in trespasses and sin, and we need God to get a hold of us and wake us up. Now, this one is Rabbi Michael Solomon Alexander, was born in 1799, and he was born in a manufacturing town in the Grand Duchy of Posen, Germany. His parents were strict Jews, and was brought up with a strong prejudice against Christianity. At the age of 21, he went to England to continue his calling as a teacher of the Talmud, and also to perform the duties of a ritual slaughterer while teaching. That's basically the guy that cuts the necks of the animals so that it's done in a kosher way. While teaching in the city of Colchester, he noticed a post advertising a meeting of the London Society for Promoting Christianity Among the Jews. The very title of the society aroused his curiosity, as up to this time he did not even know of the existence of the New Testament. He obtained a copy, its message gripped him, and began to fill his mind with all sorts of doubts and questions, which he sought to resist. About this time, he completed his education and was appointed rabbi of Norwich. Later, he moved to Plymouth, where he met and married an attractive young woman, Deborah Levi. One of the curates of the Plymouth Parish, B.B. Golden, the Stonehouse Church, came to Rabbi Alexander for Hebrew lessons. In the course of their study, he began to read such passages as Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53. A struggle then began in the soul of the young rabbi. He used to steal down to the Stonehouse Church on Sunday evenings, and under the shadow of its walls would stand riveted to the spot while he listened to the songs of Christian praise. Rabbi Alexander's congregation soon became aware of his leanings towards Christianity, and he was suspended from his duties as rabbi. Not long after, he made public profession of his faith in the Messiah Jesus and was baptized at a service attended by over 1,000 people. Unknown to Rabbi Alexander, his wife had also become a secret inquirer and was baptized 6 months later. Michael Alexander was ordained deacon in Dublin in 1827, and later in the same year was ordained into the ministry. And so the true testimony of Rabbi Michael Solomon Alexander, who came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as his Messiah. You might be a rabbi listening to this. You might be an Orthodox Jew considering the claims of the Messiahship of Jesus. Would you be as courageous as these rabbis and open your heart to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ will forgive you of your rejection. He will forgive you of your sinfulness. He will forgive you, and he will cleanse you by the power of his shed blood that he shed some 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Now I have another rabbi I like to testify, and that is Rabbi Isaac Lichtenstein. Now, when you hear these testimonies of some of these distinguished rabbis, and there's many of them throughout the years, surely there has to be something to this man, Jesus. What is so appealing? Well, when you read the scriptures, the appealing part of the Lord Jesus is the fact that God reveals to you through his word that he is the one that all the prophets have been talking about and prophesied about. This Rabbi Isaac, he was not yet 20 when he became a rabbi. And after officiating for several years in various communities in northern Hungary, Rabbi Isaac finally settled as district rabbi in Tepeo. There he remained for nearly 40 years, laboring ceaselessly and unselfishly for the good of his people. One day, a teacher in one of his district schools showed him a German Bible. Turning the pages, Rabbi Isaac, his eyes fell upon the name Jesus Christi. He became furiously angry and sharply reproved the teacher for having such a book in his possession. In his rage, he flung it across the room where it fell behind others on a shelf and lay dusty and forgotten for some 30-odd years. During a fierce wave of anti-Semitism in little Hungarian town of Tisza Elszlar, situated on the Theiss 12 Jews and a Jewess were drowned into prison, or thrown, rather, into prison, accused of having killed a Christian girl in order to use her blood for ritual purposes. As in every other case in which such a diabolical charge was brought against Jews, the blood accusation was ultimately proven to be false and baseless. It occurred to Rabbi Isaac that there must be something in the teachings of the New Testament which excited enmity against the Jews. And while browsing among his books, he came upon the German Bible, which 30 years before he had thrown away in a rage. He picked it up and examined it carefully. The state of his mind at this time is best revealed in his publication, A Jewish Mirror, in which he wrote, "Many time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say." No long explanation is needed to show that in these few words the psalmist sums up the bitter experiences and sorrows which we, at least of the older generation, have suffered from our youth at the hands of the Gentile populations surrounding us. As impressions of early life take deep hold, and as in my latter years I still had no cause to modify these impressions, it is no wonder that I came to think that Christ himself was the plague and curse of the Jews, the cause of our sorrows and persecutions. In this conviction I grew to manhood, and still cherishing it, I became old. I knew no difference between true and nominal Christianity. Of the fountainhead of Christianity itself, I knew nothing. Strangely enough, it was the horrible Eslar blood accusation which first drew me to read the New Testament. This trial brought from their lurking places all our enemies, and once again, as in olden times, the cry re-echoed, "Death to the Jew!" The frenzy was excessive, and among the ringleaders were many who used the name of Christ as a cloak to cover their abominable doings. These wicked practices of men wearing the name of Christ only to further their evil designs aroused the indignation of some true Christians, notably the professor Franz of Leipzig University, who with pens on fire and warning voices denounced the lying rage of the anti-Semites. In articles written by the latter in defense of the Jews, I often met with passages where Christ was spoken of as he who brings joy to man, the Prince of Peace and the Redeemer, and his gospel was extolled as a message of love and life to all people. I was surprised and scarcely trusted my eyes when I found in a hidden corner the book which some 30 years before I had taken in anger from a Jewish teacher. I opened the book, turned over its pages, and read. How can I express the impression which I received? Not the half has been told me of the greatness, power, and glory of this book, formerly a sealed book to me. All seemed so new, and yet it did me good, like the sight of an old friend who has laid aside his dusty, travel-worn garments, appears in festive attire, like a bridegroom in wedding robes, or a bride adorned with her jewels. For 2 or 3 years, Rabbi Isaac kept these convictions locked in his own breast. He began, however, to preach strange and new ideas in the synagogue, which both interested and astonished his hearers. At last he could contain himself no longer. Preaching one Saturday from the parable of the whited sepulchre, he openly admitted that his subject was taken from the New Testament, and he spoke of Jesus as the Messiah, the Redeemer of Israel. He embodied his ideas in 3 publications appearing in rapid succession, which created a sensation among Jews, not only in Hungary, but throughout the continent of Europe. And no wonder, for here was an old and respected rabbi still in office, calling upon his people to range themselves under the banner of Jesus of Nazareth and hail him as their true Messiah. As was inevitable, as soon as official Jewry realized the significance of Rabbi Isaac's position, a storm of persecution broke loose upon him, and he, who but a few weeks before was chased among the noblest of leaders and teachers, was now described as a disgrace and a reproach. The charge was made that he had sold himself to Christianity. Some even asserted that he had never written the pamphlets himself, but had only bribed to sign his name to them. He was cited to appear before the assembled rabbinate in Budapest. He obeyed. On entering the hall, he was greeted with the cry, "Retract! Retract!" "Gentlemen," he replied, "I shall most willingly retract if you can convince me that I am wrong." Chief Rabbi Cohn proposed a compromise. Rabbi Isaac might believe whatever he liked, if he would only refrain from preaching Christ. And as to those dreadful pamphlets which had already been written, the mischief could be undone by a very simple process. The Conference of Rabbis would draw up a document to the effect that Rabbi Isaac wrote what he did in a fit of temporary insanity. Rabbi Isaac answered calmly but indignantly that this was a strange proposal to make, seeing that he had only now come to his right mind. They then demanded that he resign his position as rabbi and be formally baptized. He replied that he had no intention of joining any church, that he had found in the New Testament the true Judaism, and that he would refrain and that he would remain as before with his congregation. He did so. And this in spite of many persecution reproaches which were heaped upon him. From his official position as district rabbi, he continued to teach and preach from the New Testament. This was a touching testimony to the strong attachment of his own community, which alone had the power to make requests for his dismissal. As a matter of fact, much pressure was brought to bear, and some members of the congregation and relatives of his wife were completely ruined by loss of trade. But still, they clung to him. By this time, Rabbi Isaac and his writings had become widely known, and various church and ministry organizations sought his services. And so, I must conclude the true testimony of Rabbi Isaac Lichtenstein, how he came to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, as his Lord and Savior. You can also, if you put your trust and hope in him to be your only eternal life, to be your only blood sacrifice for sin.
Keep his covenant and show his mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. My earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.